Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. The Latino population in Milwaukee continues to increase, and with it, that community's influence on everything from culture to food to politics.
But as much as the evolution has been felt in urban places like Milwaukee, it is being felt even more strongly in some surprising places. Places like the small town of Curtis, about 40 miles east of Eau Claire.
Milwaukee writer and photographer Barbara Miner explains the profound changes and what they've meant in an article in the August issue of Milwaukee Magazine, and she is with us to share what she learned. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mitch. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to have you here. What is the significance of Curtis, Wisconsin? How did you happen to know of its story?
Well, the significance of Curtis, on one level, it's every town, every village, Wisconsin. But more personally, it's where my husband's ancestors. I mean, for years, the dairy farm in Curtis, and it had this iconic, story of his dad growing up on the dairy farm without electricity, the whole nine yards. And then about every other year, we'd go up to the Tonlakken, which is the Norwegian sort of overarching group, the Tonlakken family reunion. And this reunion is in this small, middle of nowhere, nothing's happening town in central Wisconsin, not even like those iconic up north rivers or lakes or forests. It is dairy farming land, pure and simple.
And of all the places in Wisconsin, it has really seen a profound shift in its population.
It's amazing because we started going up to the family reunions, 25, 30, too many years ago to count. And I remember once, though, about 10 or 15 years ago, because I'm walking around during this family reunion at the Lions Club and, getting a little bored. And I walked to this one area, and there's this trailer park. And, I knew enough Spanish, and I'm going, wow, this is pretty interesting. I walked back to Bob, and I said, Bob, that trailer park is filled with Latinos. And that was my first inkling. And then, of course, one of the reasons, there's two big reasons. One is the change in dairy farming throughout the state and the importance of Hispanic immigrant labor to the dairy farming industry. But also in Curtis specifically is Abbey Land, the sort of classic slaughterhouse.
Well, and so how do you compare, the naturalization of the Latino or the Hispanic population into the Curtis community with the same immigrant story that came generations before?
And that's what I found fascinating. And what got me interested was that Bob's father, unfortunately, passed away this last winter. And we're going through a lot of the, the boxes in the basement type thing. And we see different documents, photos from when Bob's great-grandparents came in the 1870s and their stories. And it just was like, wow. I mean, here you have a little bit more than a century ago how that area was changed by Norwegian immigration in particular, later Polish, the whole nine yards of European immigration, and how today that Latino immigration is changing the face of middle of nowhere iconic dairy farming Wisconsin. And I just was like, wow. I mean, I'm in Milwaukee. It's not like I don't know there's Latinos in the state. But, I had the same misconception that Latinos were primarily an urban phenomenon. And just as I think it was at about 1994 when we had that first immigration march in Milwaukee and people kind of went, whoa, it's more than Mexican restaurants in Milwaukee. To me, it was a wake-up call that, whoa, it's more than Milwaukee.
Well, and I gather from the people you spoke with, the things that draw many of the Latino immigrants to a place like Curtis are the things that might appeal to anyone about Curtis.
Jobs and a better life. The same exact reason Bob's great-grandparents came more than 100 years ago. And one of the things that just so amazed me was when you look at the history of Wisconsin and that area, it's never been static because the Norwegians and Germans came only after the 1832 Black Hawk War, and the Native Americans, the resistance from the Black Hawk, was defeated. So the same year that Wisconsin became a state, 1848, was the year of the Mexican-American War. So you have these incredible global upheavals with local impact that you forget.
Now, I gather as you set out to quantify this phenomenon, if you will, it was a little difficult because there is a discrepancy between the reality of Curtis's demographic shift and what the official data might say?
Oh, it's very complicated. And I mean, there's a lot of complications, you know, city girl going up to the country, which I'd underestimated. You know, I'd forgotten that sort of rural city divide, the language issues, English and Spanish. And I know enough Spanish to get by, but I recorded everything. And the whole issue of a lot of the Latinos being undocumented, which, you know, understandably, they're not really going to open their arms to reporters from Milwaukee. No.
Although I was surprised that how many of them did speak with you, even in comparison to how many of the longstanding white members of the population.
Yeah, and I was very fortunate because Bob's still has cousins, good cousins who live, you know, up there. Everything's kind of close and far at the same time. They live in Owenwithie, which is about another sort of 8 miles to the west. And so Bob's cousin Carol knew some folks who knew some folks who knew some folks. But also, I found out because Bob's, you know, involved in education in the union, through some union contacts, they said, whoa, talk to the Abbotsford School District, which is now 40% Latino in the younger grades approaching 50. I mean, that's higher than Milwaukee. And, you know, it was fascinating because in the schools, there's a certain protection of talking to people because there's a Supreme Court decision that says undocumented children have the right to a free and public education. So it's an institution where, by law, they have to be accepted. So it changes the dynamics a little bit.
Well, and in general, what has the attitude been among the longstanding white population of the area? It seems like, you know, perhaps without the Latino population, there might not be a Curtis at all.
Oh, and then – and to say what is the white reaction is sort of like if someone were to say, well, what's the white reaction to, you know, Black Lives Matter? You know, it's all over the map. But it is true that I think there's a universal recognition that if the Latino population were not there, Curtis would be dead. The dairy farms would not function. Abbeyland Slaughterhouse would go under. And the schools would lose a significant portion of their student body. So despite how people might feel, you know, in their own personal attitudes, everyone recognizes the absolute importance of the Latino population to the social, economic survival of that area.
There is perhaps, in an unlikely way, a bilingual newspaper that is based in that part of the world.
That is the other thing that was totally fascinating. So here you have Noticias. And it's distributed in, I don't know, dozen plus counties, 60 towns, villages, small cities, out of Abbotsford, Wisconsin. I mean, it's sort of like, who'd have thunk? And it turns out the journalist who runs the newspaper, he'd been a journalist in Mexico City, although came and worked primarily on dairy farms and slaughter and all the dirty jobs that no one else seems to want. But he was a journalist by training. And just he has devoted his life to having this bilingual voice of the Latino population in central Wisconsin. It's fascinating.
So given how that demographic shift has taken place, how does life in Curtis today compare to the Curtis that your father-in-law or even your husband knew?
Well, one thing that's the same is it is slow. You walk down the street and not a lot happening, maybe a dog. The kids still play in the park, the Lions Club Park. But not a lot is happening in Curtis. Abbotsford is these economic, calling it a thriving economic center might be a little bit of an overstatement. But that's where, you know, the store, the grocery stores, the gas stations. But Curtis is your kind of town that you can drive through in 20 seconds. Maybe you'll see someone, maybe you won't. Although one difference now is with the Abbeyland Pork Slaughterhouse, lots and lots of trucks, lots of trucks. I mean, they're slaughtering, I don't know, a couple thousand pigs a day, and that's a lot of pigs to truck in and out.
The local diner scene is a little different?
Well, at the intersection, you know, one thing, the Highway 29 there is now at the 4-state as opposed to the smaller, slower two-lane highway. And there's a big truck stop restaurant, your classical truck stop restaurant, right there at the Curtis. And that's, again, because of Abbeyland. So you have the El Norteño, which is the diner, but it's a Mexican-themed, you know, food, El Norteño.
So how does the reality of Hispanic employment in the area match up with the stereotype or the commonly held belief? I mean, I think there are a lot of people who might imagine most of the Hispanic population in the area would be migrant workers.
And that's, you know, because in Wisconsin, the agricultural industry has been reliant on migrant laborers. And when people think, well, outside of Milwaukee, yeah, they know that in Milwaukee they work in the factories, the tanneries, the restaurants. But they always think, well, they must be migrant laborers in the agricultural areas, and that is not true at all. They are year-round permanent restaurants who are keeping the dairy industry alive. And I think one of the things that it's easy for us city slickers to forget is that dairy farming has its own constant rhythm, because those cows, whether it's a rainy day or a sunny day, whether you feel lousy or whether you feel great, those cows have to be milked three times a day, 365 days a year, and that requires a lot of labor power.
And this is one of those things that it's hard to, again, quantify. It's, you know, largely an anecdotal set of evidence, but there are plenty of people there that would point out that, you know, these are jobs that the many of the members, the longstanding white members of the community, don't want to work anymore.
And it's interesting. Most of the farmers and some of the white workers, because Tombstone Factory is in Medford, not too far away.
This is the pizza factory.
The pizza factory. And the whites will admit, you know, a lot of the whites don't want these jobs. They're hard. They're, you know, they're not 9 to 5. They don't pay great. And I think for a lot of the younger white population, you know, the city, they want to get to the big city.
Well, and so you write that when you set out to work on this story, you wondered if Curtis was an anomaly. Yeah. Where do you come down on that question now?
Wow. History will tell. I mean, I'd love to predict, but wow, history is pretty unpredictable. Because partly it'll depend on national and global, you know, if immigration reform happens. You know, now with Donald Trump making his anti-immigrant statements, and that kind of emboldens anti-immigrant sentiment. So it's a little hard to predict, but I think if you look at the last 30, 40 years in Wisconsin, and you look at smaller towns, smaller-sized cities, rural areas where the Hispanic population, the Latino population, is also growing. Exactly how much it will grow, we don't know, but it will grow. I mean, partly because a lot of the immigrants at this point, the second generation, they're citizens. They're not going to go back to Mexico. Why would they? Their life is here in Wisconsin, and they're having kids.
And at least one person you spoke with, actually, their kid left and came back to Abbotsford.
Oh, yeah. He did your classic, I'm out of here. You know, I'm getting out of Abbotsford, this boring little town. His dad said, yeah, 6 months later, he came back and he said, wow, I love Abbotsford. I love Wisconsin. So, you have these people. You know, it's not that dissimilar from Bob's grandparents and great-grandparents and father. You know, once they're here, this is their life. This is their future. And they're going to stay. I mean, no more than Bob's dad was going to move back to Norway.
Would you imagine there are other Curtises out there? I mean, obviously, you know, this is the Curtis you knew, but there are lots of small towns in dairy country.
I think if you go to southeastern Wisconsin, La Crosse area, you go to these smaller towns, especially where there are dairy farms. I mean, it's easy with the interstate to drive by and just stop at the BP diesel and not check out what's going on in the small downtowns. But if you look, you'll see.
Barbara Miner, thanks so much for sharing this story.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Mitch. Thank you.
Milwaukee writer Barbara Miner's article on the Latino influence in Curtis, Wisconsin, is in the August issue of Milwaukee Magazine. There is a link from WUWM.com.